All right, guys. So Saturday morning date, and so much stuff has been going on. We're in birthday season with family. All three of our kids are born within 3 weeks of each other. So go get the eight, Yaya. Go get the eight. They get a kick out of this.
The candle.
The candle, baby. The candle. Yeah. So all three of our kids tick over a year. Their birthdays all within 3 weeks. So we just celebrated Yaya's birthday on the 29th. And so every year I do this, and it's kind of like a joke. Yaya celebrated her birthday on the 29th. And how old did you turn?
I turned 8.
She turned 8. And so here's her candle. She turned 8. And then on April 2nd, Austin ticked over a year, and he turned 18.
That's 81.
No, but on the camera it shows 18. And then in a week or so, in 2 weeks, Billy, our oldest, will turn 28. I don't have the 2 yet, but we keep reusing the 8 on all the cakes. And
first I had a double chocolate cake.
Yeah, they can't hear you because you don't have a microphone on. She's talking over here on the side. They all took over a year, so we keep the number. So we have 18. So Yaya's 8, Austin's 18, and Billy will be 28. So I'm going to take this 8 with me all the way to Oklahoma, so we can celebrate Billy's 28th birthday. In a couple weeks. And it's crazy to see, or it's crazy that I have a 28-year-old. I'm like, how's that even possible if I'm only 30 years old?
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. I think all three kids are at a different stage in their life. Every single one of them is different. But I gotta say though, like after Austin's birthday, and just it was very simple, very very simple. But I think it was really cool, and I just had this kind of like this enlightening experience or feeling was. I'm really excited and really proud about how each one of them is currently working through that stage in their life. You know, we talked about Yaya, and I think Yaya does get a lot more publicity or social media sharing because she's younger and can say the darnest things. But, you know, Yaya had pushed with the kids' book, had sold 100 books in one day. We celebrated with her favorite restaurant, which was Rockin' Sushi. She always gets the California rolls. She orders like an adult. But yeah. Sorry. I'm gonna ask her for something.
Sweet.
Can you get the skateboard?
What?
Can you get the skateboard?
Yes.
But you know, we also on her birthday, we went ahead and we actually gave her an envelope.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Had money in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to kind of like talk through that, we shared it on.
Yeah, I shared a video of it. So all of our kids have a very simple birthday. We're not very big on gifts, right? Or presents. They need to be meaningful. We don't, you know, being.
Despite the lawnmower.
You know, being, you know, a professional organizer and having a cleaning business, we're very, like a minimal household or family. We like experiences over just buying stuff. So
yeah,
our house looks like a hotel. so we don't just buy stuff for buying. We like to buy with intention or for experience. And, so all of their birthdays were extremely simple. We just take them out to eat where they want to go. Like kind of have that evening, not even the whole day, because Austin turned 18 and he had to go to school and work on that day. And so he took him to dinner. I said, welcome to adulthood. And I ChatGPT'd all of the stuff that you could do now when you're 18 and what you can't, like your parents can't make your doctor's appointments anymore, right? Or you can now enlist in the army. And I thought he could buy cigarettes. Because that's the kind of parent I am. I'm joking. I'm like, you can go buy cigarettes now. And he's like, no, all right. No, ChatGPT said, no, you have to be 21. I was like, oh wow, that changed. I didn't even know it. But we have a very simple kind of birthdays. And for Yaya's, she got a gift. It was a custom gift. And I don't know if Chris wants to share it. She got a custom gift. And then she also got some money, but she earned the money. It wasn't a birthday gift. And so we did share a video about that. And what she did was she had a goal to sell 100 books in one day. And she sold the 100 books in one day. So if you were at CleanCon, then you've seen it or you were involved in it, and we thank you. And she got the profit. We gave her the profit from the books. So yeah. She sold 100 books for $10, which was $1,000. Each book cost me five-ish dollars to order and ship and taxes. And then she paid me a dollar for each book for, we made her pay like copyright, author fees.
Yeah. Royalties.
Royalties. And then she got the rest of the profit, which was $400.
Yes.
But she's not spending the $400.
Cold hard cash, by the way.
Yeah. We gave her real, real money. But she has to reinvest that money into her next, if she wants to sell more books, then she needs to buy them. Right? She needs to buy another set. She needs to invest it in something if she wants to continue to make money. So it was a great lesson. The $400 was like, oh my God, it lit up her eyes. But it was great to teach her and break down the money and for her to understand, oh, there's shipping and there's taxes and we have to pay for the book and there's royalty fees or author fees. And we didn't nitpick it. We just kind of rounded it so it was easy numbers for her to understand. But she was ecstatic.
Like, yeah,
with that. And she has some ideas because she wants to make swag now or tangible products.
Yeah.
Based off of living, leading like an elephant.
Yeah.
So she wants to invest that money into some making more money.
Yeah. Which is super exciting. And I wanted to share this skateboard, this custom skateboard. So I'm going to show you here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So we can see it this way.
This way.
Yeah.
But we got a custom leading like an elephant skateboard made, you know. We could have went with the traditional buy a new tablet, you know, this or that. But, you know, Yaya's a little bit different. She's built a little bit different. We decided to get this skateboard. She's super excited. I love her.
And it's a nice skateboard. It's fast. Yeah. And
it's easy to turn.
Easy to turn. So,
yeah. So, but had a little bit of help from Hayden Rogers, by the way, if you're looking for any custom artwork done. I gave him, just said, hey, leading like an elephant, I want to make it special. Here's the details. He gave me a custom skateboard because he's a skater. So big shout out to him. It was a fantastic gift. Super excited.
Yeah. And Hayden is Jen Rogers' son, if you guys don't know who Hayden Rogers is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have some of his swag as well. A hat that he made. Love his artwork. It's funny. My hat, I always say it's like an entrepreneur's life because it starts with a smiley face and then it morphs into like a rainbow of a sad face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's literally the entrepreneur logo, is that we can be happy and sad all at the same time or within a matter of seconds. So yeah, we've just celebrated some birthdays, which were great. You know, let's keep on our subject of kids and let's talk about AI and kids.
Yeah.
Everything from, Chris, how do you have Yaya set up with AI? Because we talk about AI in business all the time.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, I do. Because it is the future, guys, as much as we want to fight it. And I'm, you know, my stance isn't to scare you into it. It's to prove or show you how it can help your business.
Yeah.
Because fear doesn't help anything. But how are we using AI with our kids from a business perspective? Like, they see us using it. We encourage them to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Even Austin at 18.
Yeah.
You know, he has a paid corporate account through like us. He uses it and he uses it for school and the school doesn't allow it, but we allow him to use it.
Right.
Because I'm like, you know, and he's a senior, so he's almost done.
Yeah.
I was like, I told Chris, it was funny. It was like 3 days before Austin turned 18. I'm like, oh, only three more days, just three more days. And I don't care what he does.
Yeah.
No, it's just a joke. I'm like, just 3 days. And he's 18. He's a grown up, but he uses it probably the most common way. And that's to help him do his schoolwork.
Right.
As a senior.
But I like that topic though, because, you know, a lot of people are like, heck no, I'm not getting my kids to use AI.
Well, they don't even use AI sometimes.
Right.
Like the adults.
Right.
Because the amount of pushback I get trying to get people in business to use AI, I'll never use it. And I'm like, we have to keep an open mind. I understand it's not maybe right in every aspect of your business right now, but we have to keep an open mind and not say, I'll never use it, because our children will also be using it. And I think we're going to make our society behind having that closed mindset.
Yeah. But with Yaya, the way that she's using it is, because she uses Grok. Grok is cool because there's a kids mode in it. We first started to use it inside of, so we have a Tesla, but it was more function than it was fashion. But there's
is Grok actually in the Tesla?
Yes. So it's in the Tesla, and there's a mode for kids. We have it defaulted to a kids mode in the car, and we also have a story mode. And so what we've been doing, we actually did a lot, is we used to do story mode where Yaya would actually talk to Grok live in the car, in that. And then it would be kind of like the old, if anybody read like Goosebumps or something, you'd have those kind of branching storylines of, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And so it's kind of choose your own adventure. And so she's very interactive with Grok in the car. We even go down to talking through, like, you know, let's play a Minecraft adventure for an 8-year-old. And then suddenly it'll talk through this vivid descriptions of a certain situation in Minecraft and then talking through it and then this and that. So it's really, it's kind of the new age of
storytelling
and reading books. Not to take away the magic from books, but you know, for kids this age, you can't deny it. But where she's using AI is that, one is in the car, that's one example that kind of spun off into her, we got her Grok on her phone, and she actually uses Grok because there's a setting in Grok to be able to have it be an ongoing chat through voice. And so it's almost like a live phone call with a friend.
Yeah, okay.
And what she's doing there is she's actually talking and is holding a conversation through this entire thread with Grok, or who we call Aura.
We call her Aura.
And so she's talking through there, and you know, she uses it, so she plays her games on her phone, and she'll do that. And what you can do is you can screen share with Aura and actually talk through in scenarios, and they can actually basically read the screen, or you know, obviously there's protections around that, but you can interact and get perspectives and certain things like that, ask questions, and just hold a conversation. And so she's been really digging into that lately. And then also separate from that is starting to kind of hold conversations and ask questions about, she's very big into the earth.
Yeah. Yesterday she told me that I know that the earth was made of 75% water.
Yeah.
I said, actually I did. But, and then about the 50, well, she said teacups of sugar.
Yeah.
A child should only have 50 teacups of sugar a day. I said, are you sure it's teacups or teaspoons? She mixed it up. Yeah.
But everybody got the point. Everybody knew. Yeah.
I love the, and so if any of you guys have had a 7-year-old little girl or 8-year-old now, she just turned 8. The amount of questions, the inquisity, like the like we, you know, can only handle so many questions. And sometimes me and Chris would have to say like, hey, I need you to stop talking for a minute. Like, cause it drives you crazy. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Your brain's going to blow up because, you know, at her age, but like with Aura or Grok, I hear her talking all the time to it. And, you know, it's impressive to like, she's learning about the earth and the ocean and sugar and what's healthy and like just the way that the conversations go. She's actually becoming smarter when people say AI makes you less intelligent.
Right.
I can say also what it's doing, at least for Austin. So Austin isn't a reader.
Yeah.
But with AI, you kind of have to read. It's changing the way that like the UI of software works, like the user functionality of it used to be more visual, right? And prettier, where with AI, it's more of a chat type of UI, like user experience. And so Austin's actually reading more than he's ever read in his life because he needs to read it or type it. Well, he could talk it.
Yeah.
To interact with AI. So it's actually encouraging, he's actually reading more, which is impressive because the child doesn't want to read.
Right. And that's, but it's incredible though, because what the byproduct of this, and this is what I can realize, is the byproduct is, well, for Yaya, for example, is that, you know, we worked really hard on making sure that we did not diminish, we did not push down, we did not suppress that curiosity that kids have inherently when they're young, because usually what happens is that it kind of gets squashed.
Sometimes I told Chris, we'll look at each other and I'm like, I'm going to jump out of the car.
And so,
like, cause in the car is when she talks the most. I said, I'm going to jump out.
And so I have a very high threshold of tolerance for, for things like that, and like in holding conversation stuff, and I try really hard. And this was, again, this was before the peak of AI.
Yeah.
And so, you know, then I kind of transitioned into really heavily like execution mode, work mode. And so my capacity is very small. I got to say, and I got to appreciate Yaya and Austin and even Little Bill for that, is that I didn't have the same capacity to sit there and hold those conversations as deeply as I used to.
Well, I think right now too, and if you're a business owner, you have seasons of like, the business is stressful. You got to dive in, you got to work. And I'm just going to say this, and people don't say it, but your kids take a backseat to it, and they have to, and that's okay. Because there were times when we were present, or we, like Yaya said the other day, Mom, we travel more than anyone I know.
Yeah.
Even Miss Denise, her troop leader for Girl Scouts, is like, you guys travel so much more than me. And she's like, and Miss Denise is a grown up.
Yeah.
And so sometimes during hard times, you have to work more, and you don't have the patience, and you don't have the bandwidth for your children. And that's just, I mean, like, that is the truth. But that's a season, and it comes and it goes. And so we always tell the kids, hey, like right now is like, it's hustle mode execution. We're going to be a little distracted. Please bear with us. But we always have a date. Me and Chris, yes, always have a date of when it stops. Like, hey, but on this day, like, well, we're 2 weeks in hustle mode. Please give us this 2 weeks, and then we're going to be out of it, and we'll do something. We'll go on vacation. We'll have some free time. And, cause we run in sprints. Like,
yeah.
If you're from software, and even in my home service company, like, we run in sprints when we work in a project, because 90 days doesn't, that's like so long, and it's agonizing in a long time. So we changed everything, but we also communicate it with the kids.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So for anybody who has been actively following us in a lot of the frameworks that we've been sharing recently, one of those is the ACTS framework. We recently added the S to it, but it's acknowledge, call to action, time frame, and schedule it. Same thing that we do in business, we actually introduced to our kids. And so the same thing that Libby just explained is that, hey, I totally understand. Right now, I know that, you know, it's important to you to chat, whatever. Right now, I have to work on certain things in business. Call to action. What I'm going to do is, you know, if it's in the day-to-day, it's, you know, I'm going to go ahead and set an alarm right now.
And believe me, that 8-year-old little girl does not forget. She'll set an alarm on her phone and on Alexa.
Yeah.
And she'll also be like, it's 5 more minutes until the alarm goes off.
But call to action. What I'm going to do is dot, dot, dot. Schedule an alarm for 5 p.m. And then once that alarm goes off, time frame, we'll go ahead and I'll stop. I'll close my computer. I'll literally close my laptop, and we'll go outside and we'll skate and then schedule it. And that's the actual event of putting it on your...
Great for a child to learn. It's a perception of time and patience.
And a future outcome that's predefined.
Mm-hmm.
So, side note, I went off on a tangent there. We were talking about...
Yeah, go ahead.
We were talking about, when you read Lacey's comment, it was about the inquisitiveness and...
Well, I want to read Amy's real fast,
because
it's going to go into that. I've never considered how cool it would be for small kids during the Y stage of them. She goes, it's like the encyclopedia of their generation.
Yes.
It is. It's super cool. And I had Chris do some research, because you're going to get into Grok. Like, me and Chris manage the kids kind of different than a traditional parents.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like, he does everything with Yaya, Girl Scouts and her events. And I do everything with Austin, which right now, like senior years, like a lot of stuff. But back when Austin played travel ball, like I did all the traveling, all the organizing. And so we kind of split up and conquer and divide so that the kids kind of get that attention, and then it doesn't exhaust us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one person responsible for like all the kids.
Yeah.
And so when we first, you guys were playing with Grok in the car, you know, and he asked me about the AI, and I was like, well, I don't really care what you do. Just make sure that there's some bumpers around that she can't ask a question and get some kind of answer.
Yeah.
She'd also have to read the answer, and she's 8. And
right.
At the time she was 7. So she can't read. She can read, but not like in depth.
Yeah.
And so it was funny when you first signed up with Grok, she didn't like it because it was on a certain mode.
Yeah.
And it was treating her like a child.
Like, I'm talking about like a 4-year-old.
Yeah, and she didn't like it at all. She goes, I don't like this.
Yeah.
It's treating me like a kid.
Right.
And so if you want to go ahead and explain with Grok.
Yeah, and so again, with this age right now, and the reason why I encourage it with certain guardrails or bumpers, but for her, what I realized was that by giving her an outlet to ask questions and to learn and get answers, even if it's just through chatting, through voice, what ended up happening is that her curiosity just spiked. And all of a sudden, she's now using it in terms of creativity, different ways to do things. We always repeat, almost every single day, we have the phrase somehow pop up in conversation that there's an elegant solution to every problem. It comes up in conversation all the time, but again, I think that this is extremely helpful because now she has an outlet to find a solution to anything through AI, through conversation, through Grok. And you know, back when I was younger, you know, this was the emergence of, for me, it was like Super Nintendo, it was PlayStation, it was Nintendo, whatever. But I was a heavy, heavy gamer. And I'm talking about like RPGs for anybody who plays, but it was a storytelling kind of games. And for me, even though I sucked at school, I was good, but I also sucked because I didn't really...
You didn't care enough.
I didn't care enough. And I ended up, I'll be honest with you, I was a horrible student. I may have been nice, kind, polite, whatever, but I probably missed about, and this is dead serious, about 40% of my school days, because I would always try to find a way to pretend to be sick or to hide under the bed so that by the time that we left, they thought I was gone, and then parents went to work, and then I would sneak out, and all of a sudden...
It's so deceptive.
Right.
Devious, deceptive? I don't know.
Yeah, but no, I'm telling you, like,
I'm surprised.
There was an element of parenting that didn't happen from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Not me. Meanwhile, I'm the complete opposite. I was early. I was organized. I had great grades only because I learned how to like gamify the system. I had like perfect attendance. When I was homeschooled a lot of my life, but I was in public school my high school years.
But if you ever saw Chris not in class, it's because I was hiding under my bed.
It's like, and so that's funny. I was the complete opposite. It's the organizing side of me. I'm just so like morally structured.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But going back to what I was saying is that, I was obsessive about video games. I have an addictive personality because I think I kind of got that from my dad, who was an alcoholic, and I learned that growing up, but addictive personality with video games. But what I did there when it was weird is that even though I kind of pushed off schooling and stuff, is that me playing video games, it was storytelling, meaning that I actually had to read these really immersive stories, and you actually, like, you were in it, you lived it, you whatever. And so the byproduct of me gaming at that age was that I was reading a lot, and I didn't realize it until later, is that I'm really appreciate being able to kind of like weave in and storytell. And for me, honestly, I think the byproduct of that is that now there's this magic piece of prompt mastery that came from that. These weird tangents in my life, these skills.
Well, you know, and I asked Chris because he didn't have the best grades. So it's funny because me and Chris, you know, we've been married for I don't know how long, but there are so many things that he doesn't know about me and that I don't know about him.
Yeah.
And so when I find something out, I'm like, man, you had bad grades? I remember finding that out a couple of years ago. And I was like, that doesn't seem like you. Like, I figured because he's so like, he is like so straight-laced and moral.
Like climbing fences, passing security cameras.
Like, he would never.
Skateboarding.
Like, never do anything like unethical or immoral. And he's so straight-laced. Like, I can't get him to do anything kind of. And I mean, I'm moral and ethical, but, you know, I have a drink and I like to go out and I like to do fun stuff. And I can't get him to do any of those things. And it's funny because when I found out about the grades, and I'm like, that does not seem like you. And I'm like, but you're so smart. Because he's so smart. Sometimes when he talks to me, I have to ask him to talk to me like I'm a fourth grader. I'm like, what does that word mean exactly? I know what that word means, but not how you're using it. So please re-explain that to me as if I was a fourth grader. And so it doesn't, it's interesting because it, you know, at the end of the day with school and grades, it's like it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. And so right now I wanted to share the perspective on what I've realized is that through the tangents that I've seen in my own life, even though it wasn't perfect and a lot of things were hard for me mentally or different, is that there's always something there that will serve a purpose later in life.
Amy said, that's pretty shocking. I said it.
Yeah.
I agree. Right?
But I look at it now and like with Yaya is I know that there's things that just don't feel right with AI or don't feel right with a certain situation, but sometimes you just got to swallow it and just deal with it.
Well, I think everyone, and I did the research, like when computers came out, right? Everybody's scared. Or even we could go back further, like when they say, you know, machinery, tractors came out and people lost their jobs tending to the crops manually, but then someone had to work on, and so this is how we're going to segue into Billy.
Yeah.
Someone had to work on the tractor. Yeah, it took away the hand jobs of tending to the crop manually, but then someone had to take care of the tractor, right? Someone had to service it. Someone had to manufacture it. We go to the computers. People were scared of computers, but it created a new segment of jobs where then people had to manufacture the chips, the computers, make them. Then we had, you know, I don't know, the internet. I don't know. I honestly don't know what came first. And then, you know, the internet changed the way we live and interact. And then that created a new segment of jobs. And so when we see AI coming, and if we're not using it or we're not letting our children use it in a controlled environment and we're not encouraging our children to use it, we're actually going to hurt the future of our children. I 100% believe this because I own 3 software companies. I own a home service company. I've written a book. I've bought a commercial property. And the one thing I have to say is, you know, there's a point to where AI will be involved in every step of almost everything, somewhere, somehow. If I call my bank, the automated message is powered by AI. I use an Alexa. Hey, play a blah, blah song. She somehow uses a form of AI to pull that information in that song. And so, you know, we're using it. Austin's using it in school. We allow it. He has a paid account. You know, I said, you got to use it right. You know, if you get caught, and he's gotten caught like twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, and the teacher,
Spanish class, especially.
Spanish class. I'm like, dude, I can help you. I speak Spanish. But use it right and use it properly. Same thing with Yaya.
Mm-hmm.
She's using it. She's using it right. She's using it with guardrails. She's using it properly. And now let's get into Billy, who's 28. Well, he'll be 28 years old soon in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he's been dabbling in it. And this is where we're going to see with the future with kids and in business, they need to understand it. I've read articles that over in other countries, they're training children how to use it. Because there's going to be a whole segment of jobs that college and other places are not teaching right now, that there'll be a whole segment of jobs and we're going to be behind in that job market.
Yeah.
As in like, you know, a society, we're going to be a little bit behind because we are one of the only countries that operate in such a fear-based mindset. The United States, is one of the biggest countries that operates kind of in a fear-based mindset. And it's a lot of it has to do with social media and, just, you know, how we're worried about. We used to be worried about, you know, surviving so a lion wouldn't eat us or we wouldn't, you know, get killed in war. And then that fear and that worry turned into, am I keeping up with the Joneses? Look at her on Facebook or Instagram or, oh my gosh, like I need that because I seen she has it. And fear now has become normal. When fear was created to help protect us, we've normalized fear in our society. And so now fear, we see it's going to affect, if we're too fearful, it's going to hurt us in business.
With the same intensity that we see fear in life and death.
Yeah. You guys have heard me talk about, I've been reading about fear. I've been studying fear because I've never seen so much fear in, you know, in the people like just that we service through some of our softwares until I launched an AI and people were like, but what if I put it, what if I put my SOP in and my competitor steals it? I'm like, you really think your SOP is so good that, you know, the AI would regurgitate it as exactly as you put it in? No, it could probably make a better one. It probably can make a better one than mine. But we're fearful. Oh my gosh, we're fearful about it. And that fear is going to impact our children if we don't watch ourselves.
Or watch the conversations we have in front of them.
And the fear is going to impact our business, which then will hurt our business and our livelihood and our employees. We have our technicians in the field using AI.
Yeah.
Guys, our cleaners and our organizers in the field are using AI.
And I want to explain something real quick. And this goes double down because your cleaners, a majority of your cleaners are actually Hispanic, primarily Spanish speaking.
Because they can speak to it in Spanish.
Yeah. Which is fascinating because literally knowledge has no boundaries. And I think of this and like with little Bill, with Billy, you know, he had some rough times through his life as well. And he was always a very, what's the word? Labor centric. He always liked the hard work type of very, very simple work, very simple jobs. Like he was a floor cleaner.
Oh yeah. He worked for a commercial cleaning company and stripped and waxed floors overnight for like 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating
because 2 or 3 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But he right now is so deep into learning AI, reading it, creating workflow architecture.
So let's start with him.
Yeah.
Right? He knew nothing about it. He's 28 years old. He'll be 28 in 2 weeks. So we talked about Yaya. We talked about Austin. And then now let's bring Billy into the picture of kind of how this has become full circle. And all of our children are using it and they're becoming smarter.
Yeah.
But Billy, he's 28. He does the social media marketing for Organize It and a couple other small companies on social media, like mainly organic social. So he's been dabbling in AI because I told him he was doing it manually. I'm like, dude, you guys stop doing this manually. That was a year or two ago. Mm-hmm. when
he was resisting.
When ChatGPT came out, he didn't like it because he thought it was going to take away from his artistic ability.
Right.
Like he's, mom, I'm an artist. I'm like, great. Like, and then, and so he started to use it. And he got really into it. And then I got him Artlist, which is like, is it Sora? Yeah. Was it Sora?
It was Sora.
It was Sora. And, you know, because our deal is like I buy the tools so he can use them to make his job easier. And we split the tools. Owning multiple companies, it's great because we can buy a tool and all the companies split it. And then he really, you know, he wanted to make a game.
Yeah.
Right? A video game. He's a gamer, right? He wanted to make a video game. His passion developed so strongly that he stopped gaming so he could make a game, right?
And I know what you guys are thinking right now is like making a game, it's kind of the same because you're talking about moving around, you know, this and that and more visual. But no, him making a game is actually him literally looking at lines of code, folders inside of folders inside of folders, naming and renaming and typing by hand.
Yeah. And so it was funny. We went skiing in December, took the kids skiing, and we rode in a car with him for 8 hours. And he was talking to us and you could see the passion coming out in December. And he was just starting to dabble in like vibe coding and what certain things were. He was still kind of doing it manually, but asking ChatGPT for lines of code. So that's not necessarily vibe coding, right?
Because we talk about 5 different levels of AI capability or AI capacity. And so there's a different level. Like level 2 is where you're actually asking it and taking from it, but still doing it yourself.
If you'd ever like to know, so we have a scoring, kind of a level of where you're at in AI and knowledge. And if you're ever interested, like just reach out, DM us, DM Chris, and we can walk you through that. Because the ultimate goal, depending on where you want to be in your business, you know, is, and this is true for customer success, sales, HR, they need to have a certain level of AI in their role, but also you as an owner need to be at a certain level. Like I'm never going to reach level 10 and I don't need to reach level 10. I'm not 10, 5.
Yeah.
But for customer success, they need to at least be like a 1 or a 2.
Yeah.
For certain reasons. But every role will need it in it, at a certain level. And so we've kind of developed those markers of what each role in a business needs and what level it needs.
And each person in our companies have a defined marker on where they're at in terms of the level, and our goal is to get certain people, depending on if they're a people-centric role or a an AI-centric or a tech-centric role, different markers on which level they need to work toward.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WootRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.
Yeah, so, you know, this is off on the side, but every business, you're going to have two primary core functionalities from a person in business. So what do I mean by that? You're going to need to look at all your people and they're going to say, okay, either they need to be people, like high interpersonal skills to be able to communicate and create a relationship, deliver customer experience or service, or they need to have a high level of like, what would you call it? Systems architecture or AI?
Yes.
How business works and functions, because that's where AI will be used in both, but they need a core lane that they want to get in and stay in, right? Is that being a people, or is that being tech centric, like AI architecture workflows, how systems work, so that you can get help with that automating, building, and like deploying things that are repetitive. We'll get into the thing that we made that's repetitive here in a minute.
Yeah.
The other day, I'll tell you that story.
But
go back to Billy.
I want to pull this full circle with our oldest, 28. He's going to be 28 here soon. But he went from being, again, I'm going to give you a little teaser here, but it's with avoidance, being, you know, it's level zero on our ladder for AI, the AI capability ladder. But he was there at avoidance last year, and he just recently got into acceptance and actually using it. And my God, this kid has taken off. I sat with him for about, what was it, like an hour and a half?
Two hours last night.
Sat through. He already had a very good sense of understanding.
Well, he started getting into it with his game.
Yes.
And then, you know, he's been hounding me. And we've been busy, and he's been hounding me. He's like, Mom, I want to learn how to vibe code. Mom, I want to learn how to vibe code. I want to work for you, Mom. Like, and he works for us in the marketing, but he wants on the vibe team.
Yeah.
I'm coining it the vibe team.
Yeah. And so I give everybody, there's a forewarning before you enter what I call the AI gauntlet, is that I say that this is not going to be easy making this transition. I said, this is going to be like drinking out of a fire hose. And so I wanted to set that precedence on what to expect coming in, because there's a specific formula, specific pattern, specific reason why everything exists in how we work people through this vibe coding gauntlet to understand it, to learn it, to adapt to it, not to master it, but to get the 80% outcome from 20% of the results. Or
20% of effort.
But sat with him for 2 hours, and I worked through a lot of things. And I also share with him, by the way, the actual gauntlet, as we call it. We have a full 2.5 hour video to watch and actually work through, actually systematically work through, start, pause, and actually building it real time in that video. But I shared with him something that I had created specifically for vibe coding and for our team. And what this is it's a extremely robust prompt from a number of frameworks that we have baked into it. And this prompt, with its all of its guardrails and everything, essentially becomes your clarity statement of, like, you ask it, you tell it you want to do something, and then it will force you to have to think deeper in to whatever it is you're trying to achieve. You will never, again, because the mastery is in the prompts, and the best outcome comes from the prompts. If you were to say, make me a blah, blah, blah.
This is true with vibe coding or not. This is just true with AI.
But this is all in terms of transparency and communication and interpersonal skills. It's essentially what this is doing. It's just with code. But the same thing will transfer over in how you communicate with people. Mm-hmm. But what it's doing is you go ahead and ask it to do something. And this is not in the actual vibe coding, but this is just in getting ready to put it in. You ask it a question. You ask it, I want to go ahead and do this, this, and this. It will force back a clarifying statement of our four C's, which is its context, clarity, constraints. It will ask you to double down on exactly what you mean in specific things.
So it makes you deep. You think deeper.
So you think deeper, and you're not allowed to stray from it. And so you have to clarify and dig deeper into what you're trying to explain. You become better at reinforcing that skill of interpersonal communication. And so then it goes and doubles down again. If there's anything that is not clear, it will double down one more time. And then you gotta go ahead and re-explain. And then it goes ahead and it creates the output that is simply a really locked in prompt to start with as a question to then feed into your vibe coding, your IDE, basically your sandbox, your play space, wherever you do the coding. And then that is going to go ahead and ask you even more questions. And so what we're doing here and what I've learned is that in doing that for him, he took what was a basic prompt for himself. I said, go ahead and let's talk through whatever we can. He asked the question. He started to talk through it. And I said, now go ahead and look at what it's asking you for. And then he had to go ahead and think. And it took him a minute because he had to like stare there. And he had to give the response. And it was really hard for him at first. He had to give a response that was further than what he had initially asked for. Like, crap, this is hard. And then he got through it.
Yeah.
And once he saw the actual output of the newly created, again, prompt of what I need is.
We're using a prompt to make a prompt.
To then feed into,
yeah.
Have a clarifying
yeah,
prompt.
Yeah, because so, I know Chris is kind of talking, and he's making a prompt to make a prompt.
Yeah.
He's using a prompt to make a prompt.
But what this is doing is it's reconditioning clarity and transparency.
Deeper thinking.
It's not just coding and this and that, but it's going to go ahead and, like I said, everything in life is you can see it as a tangent. You can see it as good or bad, whatever it is in the moment. But I see this as a tangent where some of these skills don't really make sense right now. And I told him this, it's not going to really make sense until you see the output. And then once he saw the output, I said, okay, now go ahead and read it to me. And he started to read it line by line. And he's like, oh my God, like some of this stuff is so in depth. I would have never even thought of this. And so now what he's doing is he's learning and reading and understanding that there's another level behind what he was trying to say initially, that he's now going to start to remember and take into the next conversation.
It's funny because as a business owner, at least I struggle with this. If you guys do, just drop something in the chat. I struggle with explaining myself. For years, how many people would ask me, well, what does WooRecruit actually do? And the first time I met Megan Like, she asked me that, and I didn't know how to explain it to her because I just didn't know how to articulate it in words. And she got mad at me. She's like, why won't you tell me? I'm like, I don't know how to tell you. Like, so for a business owner, I think we're really good at the doing, like do, but we're not very good at the deep thinking. At least I suck at it. And so when I use ChatGPT or when I use AI, I have to force myself to not be so surface level. Like, hey, make me a spreadsheet to help me with payroll. Like, that's what I used to say. And that's what I would literally say because also my brain is moving so fast. But instead of like, make me a spreadsheet to help me run payroll. I pay these percentages. I have this many employees. Like, you know, I have three or two levels or one level. I have drivers and non-drivers. And like, that's the information it needs versus I would have just said, make me a spreadsheet for payroll. And then we don't like the output because we gave it a surface level input.
And so, but these tangents in life, I saw myself in my own tangents. I saw Yaya in her own tangents she's currently going through, and Billy now, 28 years old.
What's a tangent mean? Because to me, a tangent is like throwing a fit.
A tangent is something that's way off the mark.
Oh, okay.
It's something that's off from the
path. Typically, I use the word, I'm describing like my kids throwing a tangent, like they're throwing themselves on the floor crying. Sorry.
Tantrum.
Oh, that's a tantrum. Got it. Isn't tangent? No, that was a soda. That was something different.
Tang?
No, it wasn't.
Tantrum.
Tantrum.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
But a tangent is something that is off from the normal path. I take this to heart because everything in life will be as intentional as you make it out to be. Nothing is ever wrong. And I think everything is exactly how it should be. It's just a matter of what you're pulling from that.
Or allowing in.
Or allowing in. Mm-hmm. And so these tangents in life, and for those that have a, let's just say, a chaotic or a hard background, it's nothing more than a tangent in your life that maybe it did derail. But again, it's the outcome, it's the angle, it's what you experience and what you learn in the end, how you rewrite those experiences in the end, that creates the most impact. And I see this now with myself. I see this now with Yaya right now going through it. And I see it with Billy. And even Austin as well, is there's these tangents in life that don't really look like they're the best outcome or the best experience or the best situation. But these tangents in life are actually creating a better life. It's creating a better experience for them. And
well, it's creating more opportunity.
More opportunity.
Like, you know, this will be, like I said, added to every part of any business, any job they want to go get now. So I'm in software. I'm in this group. We have a WhatsApp group. We were just on a call, on Thursday. And these are some high level software owners. And you know, we're talking about AI in software, but we're also talking about AI in general in business, and how are we now monitoring our employees? And so what I'm going to tell you right now, if you're an employee or if you're a business owner or for your children, as business owners, we're now starting to monitor and actually look at AI usage as a part of your job and the necessary thing you have to do to keep your job, AI usage.
Yeah.
How are you using it? How much are you using it? Like with Leia, if you're the owner, you can see certain things or conversations that you've had. And we did that for transparency so you can tell if your team is using it, because we can't be kind of scared of it. And our employees are scared of it sometimes because they don't understand it. But what I see in the background with large corporations, large businesses, is they're now starting to measure their employees based off usage.
And so it's no longer about tenure, but it's about utilization as a core metric. Whenever somebody is looking in terms of a quarterly review, in terms of a one-to-one, in terms of raises, in terms of seeking a higher position, now AI usage goes into that
review
very heavily. Mm-hmm. Into that review.
Yes.
And so now it's about tracking and understanding as a requirement. And if you are underutilizing AI, then it's really hurting you.
Yeah. So, you know, so we talked about our kids in full circle, and then we can end it with this because we got to take Austin out for breakfast. I had an idea. So I'm not a technical founder. Technical founder means software founders that coded their own software. Now, I made the original version of WootRecruit, which was different software stringed together. And then once we saw it work, then we started to really dive into making our own stuff. But I'm not a technical founder. Neither is Chris.
No.
So I do a lot of strategy, and I'll be honest, I don't think enough of us in small businesses do enough strategy. We do too much learning, not enough strategy. Strategy is what's the plan? How do we execute it? What are the steps? And then once like that strategy works and we see an uptick, then how do we then automate it? Right? So like strategizing the business, the new features, the outcomes, the new services, price increases, like strategy. Instead of just saying, we're going to do a price increase.
Yeah.
And so I had created a new strategy, and all of my team wants to, first thing they want to do is automate. They're like, oh, let's automate it. Like, and I'm like, no, that's the last thing we do.
Yeah.
So we created a new strategy and it was interesting to watch. And we were working on a project, and even in the projects, because we're techie, everyone wants to just go run straight to software. Straight to software. And I'm like, no, it's the last step. especially when you're trying to do something in your business and it's new and maybe you've never done it in your business. You have to do it manually. So I created the strategy. I'm the one that said, hey, this is what we're going to do. Let's do it. We're going to do it manually. I'm going to take a handful of people And this is what we're going to do. Here are the steps. Here's the exact sequence. And this is what we're going to do. And we're going to do it manually.
Yeah.
Old fashioned way. Strategy was made on a pen and paper. I didn't even use a Google Doc. It was literally a piece of paper I wrote on. And we did it for about a week, you know, manually watching it. How's it working? It's good. And once we saw that it worked from a manual aspect, we then said, okay, great. How can we now scale it? How can we automate it? And how can we now use AI? Because I said, Chris, I want this made with agentic AI. How can we make this? And it was interesting because I am not the smartest person in the room by any means, but I don't understand why I would like, maybe because I'm the owner, maybe mm-hmm. they had thought about it, but no one had thought about this. And to me, it was like so simple at its core.
Yeah.
I'm like, agentic can do this all day long. I know it can, but first we have to try it manually.
It's the proof of concept.
And I could prove the concept, but I also could prove with four people in the project, it wasn't scalable. But I needed to make sure that it proved results. It didn't matter if it was scalable. Those are two different things.
Yeah.
Whether it works or it's scale, two different things. And so it was working. And I said, I need this now made using agentic AI and automated. And it was kind of interesting to watch because it only took Chris. Granted, the strategy took more time and more work, but to actually use agentic AI and automate it took Chris one night to make.
Yeah.
And we could take literally the manpower off of the project and deploy it to run by itself. And so you guys probably saw my post where I said, we just did something and we literally replaced four people in our company with a one overnight project. But that wasn't the strategy. So the strategy was 2 weeks prior or 3 weeks prior and working through it and being in there. And I was there every day talking to them. And this is how we're going to do it. And this is how exactly this way. Do not divert from this way. It's made for a reason.
Refining and defining the
concepts. Yeah. And every day at the end of the day, I need the updates. How'd it work? What were the results? Like every day at the end of the day. And then because if we would have deployed it with AI or like automated it with agentic first, we wouldn't have gotten the results we have gotten. Like it wouldn't be as great of a project or impact. But man, so this is the future, guys. Four people that were on the project working on it about 8 hours a day now needs not one person. And in my post, I said, I'm not firing these people. Right? We're not firing them. Oh, we're going to reposition them. The other thing is it creates new jobs. Someone has to babysit it.
Yeah.
Someone has to monitor it. Someone has to improve it. Mm-hmm. Now it will compress the jobs because I don't need four people monitoring it and babysitting it and watching it, but it will now create different types of jobs.
And I will say that what this did was it helped to create more opportunity to add an extra layer of value that we couldn't previously do. And so the people who, again, you think about four people in there who were working and then we replaced that with agentic, now we can go ahead and refocus efforts into something different. And so think about that. You now have four times the amount of value able to be put towards something else.
Customer service, customer success, marketing. You can grow.
God.
You can grow with the... Here's my goal. You can grow with the same amount of people.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that the ultimate dream?
And so just imagine this.
I get excited.
Four times the effort saved to put into something else. Thinking about that something else, I just want to... Let's just say culture, for example. Culture is a very loose bucket, but, you know, with employees and whatever is... What if you had four times the effort put towards culture alone, and let's just say that attrition was your number one problem in terms of people leaving the company. Four times the effort, like potentially, you could basically cut your attrition down, you know, 400%. Cutting it down drastically or significantly with that extra effort being put towards that. Just as an example. So think about it that way. You know, the byproduct is that you reduce rehire cost, you reduce onboarding, you reduce negative negative culture or the byproduct of fear or frustration in there. And you also have more stable delivery of service.
Yeah. And there's a phrase I want to let you guys know this. Watch how you talk about AI and technology in your company, because you will end up using it. You will, or you will go, unfortunately, like there's a quote saying by the end of this decade, which is in 3 years, 4 years, three and a half, there'll be two types of companies left in the world, right? Those are that are AI first driven or those that are closed. So you will use it. So watch how you talk about it in your company, because when you go to introduce it and those same people are still there, they will, you will have already scared them, and they will be resistant or they'll leave because they're scared. We talk about it in our company all the time. I even told them, hey, AI might take your job, guys, but that's okay because we'll keep you and reposition you somewhere else.
And they're excited.
They're excited. They're like, oh my God. Like, and so we talk about it like, hey, we might need to look at what we can automate in your, like in your role, so we can get AI to take it over. But like, hey, don't worry. We'll reposition you. We'll change what you're doing.
You'll do more of what you love.
You'll do more of what you love. And, that makes them excited. So they tell us what's repetitive. They tell us what they think. Hey, maybe we can automate this. Like, hey, maybe it can do this. But I want to close, because we need to get going, on something that's really funny. So in our project, right, we were doing it manually, like we were working on things. And then we used agentic and kind of deployed some stuff. And the human error, guys, not just did I took over the work of, and one agent took over the work of four people. The human error was removed. No one, like, not very many people talk about that. They're just all worried about, oh my God, people are going to lose their jobs. No, the human error. So in the project, Chris went back to assess what we had done as people versus what the agent had done. And it was pretty incredible to see from an owner, the amount of human error that happened.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, the agentic had no human error. And if it had human error, it was because of our human error.
Yeah. Or another human stepping into the process.
Like that's because of our human error.
Yeah.
But there's literally four times the work with zero human error.
Yeah.
With four people doing it, we had tons of human error. It's natural. It's normal. It's going to happen. But I'm sitting here saying, as an owner, like assessing like how it's working, like, and all these things. And it's really interesting to see four people, four salaries, like four things, time, like all of this times four, benefits, time off, pay. And then you add human error into it. And then you go look over here and you're like, almost zero human error. The only reason it had an error was because we had made the initial error.
Yeah.
As a human. And I was like, oh my God, in a repetitive task, all of the human error we saw versus zero human error, zero.
Yeah.
I'm like, incredible. It's actually incredible. When people want to do something, you want to automate a system, you run straight to the technology, you run straight to the AI. We have to do the strategy first, and you have to pressure test the strategy.
Pressure test it, proof of concept.
You have to pressure test it. You have to actually run it. You can't like, I'm going to make a new marketing sequence and automate it if you haven't pressure tested it, because then you're automating shit.
And then
You could be automating crap, and you don't know because you didn't pressure test it. You didn't ask for the feedback, the insights, the results every day, looking at, is it working? Is it not? What do we need to change? Tweak this, do that. Then once it's working and you know it's working, now let's go find the technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just can't get over, we took four roles and we have like literally zero human error.
Yeah.
And no, this is not meant to scare anybody. And when we did this project, we told the people, we were like, hey, we're going to deploy this and we're working on it right now and we'll reposition you in the company. That's fine. But we're going to take this job away from you using AI. And they were understanding about it. They were actually happy because It was it was not the funnest job.
It wasn't their fire.
It wasn't their fire. And so my last words to you guys are, if you're scared of it, that's fine to be fearful. The reason that we have fear is because it's lack of education or information or understanding, right? But don't share that with your employees. Don't share that with your people. Do not share it with them. Keep that to yourself until you've educated yourself enough to know how it works. Where can I use it? Where should I not be using it? Because when you go to use it, those employees might leave. They're going to be resistant. They're not going to want to use it because you have tainted the way they think. You've implanted a negative thought around it. And don't do that to your children either, because that's the future for our children. I mean, Chris follows her and I overhear it from a fashion designer, a Native American fashion designer, who's using AI now for her new fashion ideas. Mm-hmm. And she's getting backlash from it.
Oh, yeah. She did a series of videos.
Yeah.
Explaining what she's doing and why she's doing it and how she's using AI.
As a fashion designer.
For fashion design.
And so it's going to be everywhere. It's not just going to be in home service or not just because, Libby, you own a software company. That's why you use AI. No. Even artists are now starting to lean into it. Our son is a great example. The fashion designer you follow is a great example. And so if we're fearful as parents and moms and dads and business owners, and we're implanting that fear into our kids and our employees, we're doing them a disservice.
Yeah. And I want to share my thoughts because I saw somebody just commented in. Heather said, could you make suggestions on where they're planning AI in the small business, like 500,000 and less? Excited but lost. I think what she meant, because I saw you having a few questions before, on where they're planning or where you should plan to use AI in small business. I want to at least take that angle on it and give you my thoughts here. And if it's somebody who is excited but lost, and let's just say in a smaller revenue generating small business, so somebody who's kind of getting their feet wet is, and I explained this in the AI capability ladder, is that don't try to jump to the fourth rung right from the get-go, right from the gate. What I feel is the best approach for companies that are excited but lost is start with the very first level. So level zero at the ground floor is avoidance, AI avoidance, is that we need to first off get off of the ground with AI and simply get to that first rung. And that first rung, what it looks like is awareness. It's understanding and getting used to and conditioning. You can't jump too far, but it's understanding and conditioning yourself to understand that there are certain things out there. There's different elements of AI that can be.
She said, ready. I should say implementing AI. Where should she implement AI?
Yes. And so this goes directly into that, is right now is not to implement it right from the get-go, because implementation is further up the rungs. Right now for you and your team is, if you're starting from zero, if you're starting from the ground, is just to get off that ground and get to the first rung. Have that awareness, have the understanding that there are things out there, and you understand the concept and the idea of what AI is accomplishing for you. Yeah. From that, you then get into, from again, avoidance, you get to awareness, and then you go into the actual usage or, you start to use it for simple tasks. Simple tasks being, you literally ask it a question, you refine it. So you basically use it to help you understand and implement things like tactics. What do I do if? This again goes into the micro plays and the owner playbook for One Layer Deep. But start with the simple functions of what do I do if, and helping it to provide clarity for you. And then you go ahead and do the manual work. It's really important to not skip this step, because what somebody's going to try to do is dive straight into implementation on a grand scale, like Libby said. But you haven't yet gotten your feet wet, gotten comfortable with the idea. Get the rhythm. First you have to build the repetition, the rhythm. From the rhythm, you can build the habit. From the habit, you can build the culture. And from the culture, you can build the way that things are. Instinct.
Yeah. And so Chris's example is great. Like the, avoidance. What was it? It was avoidance and
Awareness.
My response is going to be, where can I implement it first? Leia. Try Leia. Leia's free. It's made for your teams. It's made for your business. How Leia is different than like ChatGPT and Claude is that it's made for business and it's made for team delegation.
Yeah.
Start with Leia. And Leia has bumpers in it, so you don't have to worry about your team getting dumb responses. But Leia is made there for team access and business. So if you want to start getting your team involved, and there are some really simple features in there, and it's made for your business to have a sandbox or a company hub. And it's free. And we have some agents in there, like if I want an agent on how do I make a system, like there's a little micro playbook agent. It will help you organize and store your systems and your processes. And then when your team asks a question, it pulls from your systems and your processes, right? It's not pulling some random stuff on ChatGPT that has no idea about your company, because we all run our companies different. So Leia is a great starting foundation for business use. And where you can house some systems and organize them and then give some access to your office. And then when you feel comfortable, you can give access to your field.
Yeah.
Your team in the field. And it's a very simple platform that was built for business owners by a business owner for a business owner. So Leia is a very great start. And then every Tuesday, I do live calls at 12 noon on technology, on AI, on some features we've added to Leia, on some questions. I'm passionate about keeping AI forefront because it's where our business needs it, right? It's where the future's going. I don't care how resistant everybody is. I don't care how. I'm going to keep repeating this because this, in 6 months, people are going to be like, oh, Libby was right. Man, I should have been listening to her. She's right. And that's what I'm going for. Because I'm here to, like, this is the future. We need to listen. As much as we don't want to listen, we need to be listening. So every Tuesday I do a live 12 noon. Your team is welcome. You're like, if you have anyone on your team, anyone in your office, bring their questions. It's AI. It's technology. It's hey, we can use Leia for this. Here's a feature we just added.
And so it's
Leia will always be free. Will always be free. Because that's my goal is, that we're not like, we need to empower each other, and knowledge is power. And right now, knowledge is in abundance. It's free everywhere now.
Yes.
It's free. I just seen a post that like some MLM companies closing down. And I actually think that as we become a smarter and smarter society because of AI, and everyone says it's making us dumber, I actually think it's making us smarter because we now have access to more information. More education at our fingertips.
Clarity.
More clarity. We're going to start to see some industries dissolve. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an interesting article I was reading. So start with Leia. Leia's free. It's simple. You don't have to use ours, but if you're a newbie, the guardrails are set. There's some AI agents in there to help you make some stuff. And if you're not a newbie, I mean, we've worked with million-dollar companies inside of there. Multi-million-dollar companies. And it's a company hub. It's just like one place, and it's all powered by AI. And the greatest place is it trains and it learns from your company. You get your own brain for your company when you sign up, when you use Leia.
Yeah.
So I'm shamelessly plugging my own AI on a great starting foundation.
Yeah. And again, I just wanted to share that there's the live Q&As that you have for AI with Leia on for each week is really the foundation. What I want to do is to give you that first rung to get you off the ground, and that is awareness. And so it's there to kind of give you a little taste of what's going on. You know, what would you actually use this for? It's that awareness piece. And then from there, you talk about adoption in terms of starting to use it for the Q&A. It's very simple at its core. To get your feet wet inside of Leia. And ask the questions.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize Leia is agentic to a certain point because she's learning every day and getting smarter every day from your business.
Yeah.
Right, from your business, from your input. So she's learning and becoming smarter and smarter and smarter. Where with ChatGPT, all you're doing is making ChatGPT smarter. It's not necessarily learning from your business. And that's like one of the biggest differences when we go to hand off the business,
yeah.
when we say, like, to not be so consumed by the business. So it's learning from your business. So it's, there's a form of agentic inside of her that she's getting smarter and more powerful for your business because yeah. it's your, like, business brain. And so she's learning from you, every single day. The more you use her, the smarter she gets for your business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this is, incredible topic. I've never been so excited.
It's an amazing time to be in live in business. Even Rocco thinks so. Say hi, Rocco. It's an amazing time to be alive in business. It's an amazing time to have children, right?
Oh my gosh.
Immerse them into it. Like, it's so fun and creative and the things we can do. And at the end of the day, the waste we can cut from business, not people, the waste we can cut from business is what's going to separate us from our competitors. Cause guess what? When I can take the work of four people and replace it, you know, all that money, I can now pay them a better wage and go up my marketing and kick your ass if you're my competitor.
Yes.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Hiring sucks, right? Sorting through bad applications, ghosted interviews, and wasted time. It's all exhausting. That's why we built WooRecruit, the hiring system designed to attract and convert the right people for your business fast. What are some of the benefits? Well, you get more qualified applicants without lifting a single finger. Increase your show rate, eliminate the worry of ghosting. Track every single step of our process with real-time data. If you're tired of hiring headache, go to WooRecruit.com and let us start filling your open roles today.